This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Opening half hour of the show brought to you by our good friends at NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Get your journey started today at NILGameChangers.org. Great to be with you in the Sunbury Motors studios, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Online, SunburyMotors.com. We will start with Willie Mays, 93 years of age. The expression five-tool player. We just saw the passing of Jerry West, and we talked about the logo. If there were a logo for the five-tool player, it would be Willie Mays. Watching him play, man, the bat, the ability to hit all fields, the speed, the defensive ability, the arm, I mean, everything, base running ability. Oh, my goodness. And he loved to play the game. Now, the Mets part of it was a little sad. That was the athlete at the end of his career. And he did play in the 73 World Series for the Mets. But you look at the great catch that he made in the 54 series. The over-the-shoulder catch. Like, I don't know how hard a ball can be hit. I think the ball went 440 feet, something like that. I mean, it was a, you know, but the Polo Grounds was gigantic in that area. And he ran it down. And then not only did he run it down, the throw, I think, might be even a little bit more remarkable than the catch.
I was going to say, I read something last night where he said he wasn't worried about making the catch. He was more worried about getting the ball back into the infield.
And he did. Unbelievable. He was the National League Rookie of the Year. He was the MVP in 54. He's also the MVP in 65 with the San Francisco Giants. I remember the 65 season. He was like, holy mackerel, he was good. And he... He could just do it all. 660 home runs, more than 3,200 hits. Hit .301 in his career. I mean, you know, those are numbers. All you do is watch him. You're like, oh my goodness! And the joy with which he played. There's a great picture when he was playing when the Giants were still in New York, and him playing stickball in the streets with the kids because he loved to play. He loved to play. Okay. Irony, when Bobby Thompson hit the shot heard around the world off Ralph Branca, Willie Mays was on deck. He was on deck. The oddity is, now remember, during the Mays era, the vast majority of the time, only the pennant winner went to the World Series. So... you know, he played in a couple of World Series with the New York Giants. He played in one World Series with the San Francisco Giants. That was 62. It went seven games. And he played in the World Series with the Mets in 73. He never hit a World Series home run. He did hit one postseason home run. That was in the National League playoffs against the Pirates in 71. It was a four-game series. The Pirates won it 3-1. Willie Mays did homer in that series. Met him one time, and it's just like when I meet him, it's like, hey, how are you? I'm, you know, whatever, shake his hand. You know, that was the extent of the whole conversation. Because Willie Mays came to State College to play in a charity golf tournament. and I was in the tournament. Like, you got to be kidding me. Willie Mays? Willie Mays. And it was at Toftrees. And this was the point in Mays and Mickey Mantle's career. Now, Mays is the only one that he showed up. Mantle didn't make the trip. Where he was, quote, banned from baseball because he was associated with Bally's in Atlantic City. And I'm not going to get into the name of the individual because I consider the guy to be a friend for one thing. But you know, this guy had the tendency to go to Atlantic City and drop some coin at the tables. Enough where he could ask the people in Atlantic City, hey, we have a charity golf event coming up. Can Willie Mays come to State College and play? And they're like, you bet. And when Willie Mays spoke, they asked him to say a few words to the group. He says, look, I'll be honest with you. This is one of the greatest speeches ever, Todd. So I'm standing there. Willie Mays gets up. He says, you know, I'll be honest with you. He says, I really don't know much about your charity. He says, but the people in Atlantic City looked at me and says, hey, look, Dr. Tom needs you to go to State College to play in this tournament where Penn State is. He goes, okay, I'll go. And he could hit a golf ball a country mile. Holy mackerel, could he hit a ball? Oh, my goodness.
Imagine how much easier that was for him. It wasn't moving.
Mm-hmm. I know. But just a great, great player. Barry Bonds' godfather. So let's be extremely conservative here. Extremely conservative. There is no doubt he's one of the 10 greatest players of all time. If you want to say he's number one and he's the greatest, you have an argument. If you want to say Hank Aaron is, you have an argument. You want to say Babe Ruth is, you have an argument. Whatever. All right. In fact, maybe we can go, he's one of the 5 best players ever. How about that? Unbelievable. And just a great, great player. And again, if you think he's the greatest player of all time, you are justified in your argument.
I know I was going to say it's not your favorite term, but I think he's third all time in wins above replacement, behind Babe Ruth and Barry Bonds.
Yippee dippy doo.
I knew you were going to love that one.
It's like, yeah. Guess what? You know, I may have been young at the time. I mean, when he retired, I think I was 15, 16 when he retired. So, I mean, I saw him play. Right? What I always say to people with analytics is this. I have 2 eyes. Okay? And
honestly, that's what it's best used for, is comparing players from eras. It has absolutely little value now when people are playing now.
I mean, look, it's interesting when we talk about Shohei Ohtani, for example. I mean, for obvious reasons, I never saw Babe Ruth play. Only read about him. Maybe saw newsreels of him, whatever. You know, whatever they put on video today. And I saw his numbers. I can't tell you in a million years, I never saw him play. My grandfather saw him play. My grandfather saw Babe Ruth play. My grandfather grew up in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Now, he was actually more of a Boston Braves fan than a Red Sox fan. But when Ruth played for the Red Sox, he went over and saw him play. And he saw Ruth play for the Yankees against the Red Sox. So my grandfather saw Ruth play many times in his lifetime.
Man, between him and the Boston Braves and you and the Red Sox, you guys endured a lot of baseball pain for a while.
Well, you know what? You know what the season he always talked to me about? He always talked to me about 1914.
Mm.
1914, the Boston Braves were in last place on the 4th of July and came all the way back, won the National League pennant, and won the World Series. He always talked to me about that team. But yeah, then after that, the Braves were nothing but pain. But, But yeah, we'd sit, the two of us, my grandfather and I, there were games where it was just the two of us that went. When I was a younger kid, he would take me to Fenway Park to games. When I got old enough, I started treating him and taking him to games. It was just two of us. And we'd sit there and we'd talk baseball all day. All day. Didn't sit in the center field bleachers. We either sat, you know, most of the time we sat on the first base side, but like, for whatever reason, we started getting seats on the third base side, in part because of the sun, the shade. Okay? And we just talked baseball. He'd tell me all these stories about what he saw, Jimmy Fox, Tris Speaker, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Smokey Joe Wood. Told me all those stories. Okay. Told me about how bad the Braves were for a long time. Tommy Holmes had like a 37 or 38 game hitting streak for the Boston Braves at one point.
That was the National League record until Pete Rose's 44 game one, wasn't it?
Yep. Yep, sure was. Well, Wee Willie Keeler, I think, had a
44 too, yeah.
44 as well. That was way back, and I don't even think my grandfather saw him. Not even he saw him play. You know, but he'd tell me about Walter Johnson, Christy Mathewson. I mean, he'd tell me all these stories about these guys, about watching them play. And I was fascinated by the whole thing. But Willie Mays, what an era. Hank Aaron, Roberto Clemente, Willie Mays. How about that for a starting outfield in the All-Star game?
Duke Snider gets in there once in a while, too.
Duke Snider was a great center fielder with the Brooklyn Dodgers. Great player.
I heard that song this morning, actually, Willie, Mickey, and the Duke.
Yeah. Yeah. Cashman?
Terry Cashman, yeah.
Terry Cashman, yeah. But just phenomenal. But a lot of people... I feel like it's getting to the point where I'm like one of the few remaining that remembers when Willie Mays came to State College to play in a charity golf tournament. It was at Toftrees. And the speech, again, I gave you the whole speech. Like that was the whole speech. He says, I'm just here to help out. He says, because Dr. Tom, they said, Dr. Tom needs you to go. So he did. And I'll give credit where credit's due. I might as well just say Dr. Tom Nardoza is the guy that helped make it happen.
That sounds quaint these days, doesn't it? Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle were shadow banned from baseball for being greeters at a casino.
it's Bowie Kuhn.
Well, that's true.
Okay, Bowie Kuhn. I mean, I realize that because it was Peter Ueberoth that reinstated them. And Bowie Kuhn always did this line about best interest of baseball. Okay. In the best interest of baseball. He would not let the Yankees acquire Vida Blue from Oakland. Remember when Charlie Finley did the fire sale, I think it was 76, I think it was. And he sold Vida Blue to the Yankees and Joe Rudy and Raleigh Fingers to the Red Sox. And Kuhn stepped in and said no. Said, not in the best interest of baseball. He nullified the sale of players. Like, okay. And the same thing, he did the same thing when it came to, like, this with Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle. I'm sorry, there's certain things that just make you look bad. That made baseball look bad. Like, they're greeters. So what? It's like, and then you think about today's.
Yeah, that's...
Today, at the bottom, they're like, you know, and by the way, you can place a side bet. You know, a prop bet as to whether, you know, pick a player. Juan Soto is going to bunt in the sixth inning. Okay, great.
I, you know, just some of that stuff from the 70s and 80s with gambling is just So quaint these days.
But Bowie Kuhn was like that.
Yeah.
Best interest of baseball. It's like, you know, like just slow down. And Peter Eberhoff, to his credit, came in and said, you know what, forget this. We can't do this. That's Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle. Come on.
Can't say it about Willie, but I'm pretty sure greeting people at the casino is not the worst thing that Mickey Mantle did in his life.
No. All right, we'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Go to NILGameChangers.org. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
All right. Great to have you with us. Aaron Judge got hit in the hand last night. The x-rays were negative because with him, he would have been out for 4 months. Not America's greatest endurer of pain. but so I don't know if he's going to be out or not. He actually went back in the game. He played the field, and the next time up, they pinch it for him. And that makes sense.
Sounds like he's going to try and play today. I don't know if they'll let him. Was the reasoning before I came into work? Sounds like that one was getting a little chippy last night between. I think some of the Orioles fans think Juan Soto did that on purpose to, was it Gunnar Hester? No, it was Westhoff.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the Orioles have been playing well. The Yankees, have been playing okay of late. I mean, they lost 2 out of 3 of the Red Sox. But, yeah. So.
Hey, it happens to the best of them. Look at the Phillies, right?
They lost 2 out of 3 of the Red Sox, too. The Red Sox are an odd team, so it's like, okay. I see what they're trying to do. I mean, whoops, slow down, whatever that is. I see what they're trying to do with it, but they still need to have more power in that lineup. All right, how about this one? And I've talked about this before, but let's make a trip now on the show to Topeka, Kansas. See what they did?
No.
Kansas legislature, bipartisan legislative supermajorities, okayed a measure to authorize state bonds to help finance new stadiums and practice fields for the Kansas City Royals and the Kansas City Chiefs to put them on the Kansas side of the metropolitan area, which has 2.3 million residents. Remember, there are two Kansas cities. Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas. The plan from the Republican-controlled legislature now goes to Governor Laura Kelly. Now, she did stop short of promising to sign it. She did say in a statement, though, Kansas now has the opportunity to become a professional sports powerhouse. Sounds like to me like she's going to sign it. Now, she has been trying. Now, her priority has been trying to get lower taxes in Kansas. But this is a 30-year bond issue. And this is on the heels of the voters in Kansas City and the county that Kansas City is in, where they voted no on extending a sales tax for Arrowhead and for the Royals to build a new place in downtown Kansas City. So, could they move across the river? Yeah.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. You have a multitude of insurance needs. Purdy Insurance can handle them all. Customer service means everything to them. Saving you money means everything to them because of the customer service part. They're just great pros who are great people. And the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, closer than you realize. Wednesday, August 7th, Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. All right. So, I'll get back to the Kansas story in a moment about trying to lure the Chiefs and the Royals over. So let's get you this. Penn State's put out its new roster. And in putting out the new roster, they also put out weights. And they just had Live for Life. So here are some of the notables. All right, we'll start at wide receiver. Amari Evans went from 185 to 190. Running back Quentin Martin. Now, I like this kid. I mean, he's fluid, long strider, good hands. Right, playing running back. And he's been able to go from 194 to 202. Offensive line. Nolan Rucci. One of the big problems at Wisconsin was he'd be just a shade under 300. He just couldn't get weight. Well, and he finally got to, you know, like 305 when he was done. Well, he's gone from 305 to 317. So Nolan Rucci is now 317 pounds. And that's big. Let's see. Anthony Donko's gone from 328 to 336. Luke Reynolds, the tight end. Came in at 228. Remember, I was talking earlier, he needs to put on weight. He's up 241 now. Dominic DeLuca, 220 to 228. Kazai Izzard, 302 to 310. I mentioned Martin, 194 to 202. Smith Vilbert. Smith Vilbert seems to get lost in all this. Don't lose track of him. Good player. 284 to 292. Abdul Carter has gone from 250 to 259 at defensive end. Tony Rojas. Remember, Tony Rojas came in at, 197 pounds? And they got him up to 225 last year. You know what he is now? 239 pounds. And I'm talking, Tony Rojas looks lean at 239. I mean, I'm watching Tony last week at Live for Life. I'm like, I mean, it's put together. 225 to 239. And Lamont Payne went from 185 to 196. Remember, he's gone from corner to safety. So those are some of the weights on that. Others. Let's get others. Okay. So let's get to guys that have lost weight. I don't see the suit's name. Just kidding. Cooper Cousins, the true freshman, from 319 to 315. Nick Dawkins at center from 306 down to 298. Alex Birchmeyer, 305 to 299. Where Alex is going to be better, he's going to be a little bit better with his footwork. Garrett Sexton went from 295 down to 289. Those were all offensive linemen. Andrew DeFault, long snapper, 246 to 232. Keon Wiley went from 220 to 213. Zariah Fisher, 262, 254. Ryan Barker, the place kicker, from 203 to 195. Now, who went up at least 5 pounds? Some guys just went up a marginal amount. Let's see. I mentioned Amari Evans. Anthony Ivey went 178 to 186. Katron Allen's at from 225 to 229. Looks put together. It does. Egan Boyer went from 251 to 273. We all know that he needed more bulk. Sal Wormley from 330 to 335. Jerry Cross from 260 to 268 at tight end. Joey Schlaffer, who's slowly but surely has been building that body up, 233 to 242. Khalil Dinkins, 246 to 253. Ethan Grunkemeyer, the quarterback, 202 to 207. On defense, Johnny Mitchell, freshman out of Jacksonville, 182 to 191. Zakee Wheatley, 196 to 200. Dakari Nelson went 217 to 223. Colin Dinkins, 197 to 203. Kerry Jackson, 226 to 246. Tamir Robinson, 226 to 230. Beckham D went 224 to 231. Tyler Elzin went from 227 to 232. Will Patton, the long snapper, 221 to 245. Amin Vanover went 263 to 268. Mason Robinson, 238 to 245. Alonzo Ford, who couldn't play last year, the transfer from Old Dominion, 308 to 319. Akeem Beeman went from 280 to 285. Xavier Gilliam, 294, 306. Caleb Artis, 317 to 323. Sam Siafa, 284 to 292. DeAndre Cook, 269 to 286. T.A. Cunningham, 252 all the way up to 280. And I mentioned Keziah Izzard, 302 to 310. And a really good job by Nate Bauer and company at on3.com for putting all this together. And they've got the heights and the weights in there for the freshman who just enrolled. Tysier Denmark, the wideout, MVP of the Big 33 game, 5'10", 177. Safety DeJuan Lane. I know everybody's kind of excited to see what he might be able to do. 6'2", 203. Kenny Wosley, the corner, 5'10", 167. Malachi Williams, the defensive end, 6'3", 237. Running back Corey Smith, 5'10", 179. Anthony Specka, the linebacker, 6'1", 230. Donnie Harbor, the offensive line, 6'3", 329. Caleb Brewer in the offensive line, 6'4", 279. And Peter Gonzalez, the wide receiver, 6'2", 203. So there you go.
I know it's obviously too early, but the 203 pounds on Quentin Martin is, you know, we talked a lot about the injuries in the spring game and him getting a lot of run. Do you think he has a shot at that third running back spot now?
Well, remember, Cam Wallace is there.
That's right.
And we can't forget about Cam Wallace. I would think going into camp, it's, you know, it's 1A, 1B, whatever order you want to put between Nick and Katron, okay? I would think that going in the edge for the third running back is Cam Wallace, then it's Quentin Martin. But now let's see how training camp plays out. Now, this is where I was impressed with Cam Wallace. We all know Cam Wallace has speed. But what I was impressed with is he gave me that Journey Brown feeling. Because I felt Journey Brown, after watching him break off so many long runs in the Sunday night scrimmages, started becoming a really good guy with some power between the tackles. Because you just can't be a one-trick pony. And that's where I thought he made his greatest improvement. Well, I saw that in Cam Wallace in the spring. We all know Cam can run. Cam has speed. But I was impressed with how he ran between the tackles during the spring. Now, Martin, it's obviously just a glimpse, because he was available the first 10 days of the spring and available the last 10 days of the spring. In the middle, he couldn't go. So in that 15 to 20 day span, I got a chance to watch him. He sure looked like a guy that's a cut above catching the ball. And he's a long strider. Now, the added weight is going to help. Because remember, both Singleton and Allen are in the 220s. I'd have to look up with, let me see what Cam Wallace is. I know Cam Wallace. I'm going to guess Cam Wallace is right around the 220s.
When you're that good in high school, you don't get hit a lot. That helps, too.
Oh, I think it's one of the keys to life, not getting hit ever.
Wow.
In anything. Penn State football roster. Let's see.
They also did a real good job in Bell Vernon of not overusing him as well. If, you know, you look at some of his high school numbers, they're kind of pedestrian, but it's more along the lines of they didn't really ride him until they got into the state playoffs a lot of the time.
Yeah. Just take a little bit. Oh, there we go. That's weird. You probably wonder about Singleton. Singleton is 6'2", 227. Allen is 5'11", 229. Let's see. Aller's at 238, if you were wondering. Everybody, he was, what, 245 last year? Bo's 207, 6'2", 207. Drew's 6'5", 238. Let's see here. Martin's 202. Cam Wall. No, Cam Wallace is 5'9", 198. He's 5'9", 198. By the way, Zane Durant, 6'1", 290. Adavian Collins, whom I think was it like 158, 159 when he got here? It's up to 178 now. He's got more muscle on him, that's for sure. Deny Dennis Sutton, I talked to him last week, 6'5", 272. He says, Steve, I'm in the best shape of my career. So knock on wood, let's see if he makes it happen. Because he has all the talent in the world. Kobe King, probably wondering how big he is, 6'1", 251. So he's maintained. He's been stable. Tyler Warren's at 257. Jalen Harvey's at 263. Kavion Keys, 230. Anybody else here of note? J.B. Nelson's 327. He's gonna help. No, he's one of those guys people don't talk about. He's gonna help. Drew Shelton's at 306. I think they want to put a little more weight on Drew. But he's at 306. I mentioned Donko's 336. Venga Ioane's at 346. And the odd thing about him is he doesn't look 346 pounds. He carries it so well. He's like a block. I mentioned Rucci at 317, Wormley 335. Let's see here. Anybody else of note? Andrew Rapplier, 250. Devon Ellis is at 304. It's a good weight for him. I talked to him. He feels great about where he is. Let's see. Anybody else? I'll tell you guys, he's got, like, developed real muscle definition after the workouts. I mean, it's not a guy you would expect. Or Riley Thompson, the punter. He looks like he could throw a vehicle over a hedge. He's at 221 now. So there you go. Yeah.
I mean, it's always amazing to me. I think that's one of the biggest, you know, we always talk about the speed of the game is when you get some of these high school athletes into a college weight program. I always go back to, you know, Southern Columbia is no slouch in their weight room, but even, you know, they got Julian Fleming at Ohio State and Cal Holiday at Michigan State. Once those two got into Division I programs, they still look like different people.
Yeah. It's a good one. I didn't give you Julian's. Of course, it would help if I could spell state correctly. football roster. I got to go back to that again. Bingo. There we go. 224. What is Julian? Thing always gets stuck. Here we go. And by the way, Julian, let's see. By the way, Tysier Denmark ended up with number 4, so Julian's going to keep number 3. Okay. Julian is 6'2", 206.
Does the beard get him up over 200?
Yeah, probably does.
That's Harrison, what I tell people.
Harrison Wallace is 199. Caden Saunders, 176. Yeah. But Denmark ended up with number 4. So Julian, right, looks like he's going to keep number 3.
Those guys that just got there in the last couple of weeks, does that hinder them at all getting on the field as freshmen, or does the 4 games thing kind of help everybody get on now?
That's a really good question, because I felt that. And I don't know how good he's going to be. He played well at Kent State. But Dante Cephas did not get in until this time of the year last year. And I just felt like it just set him back. And look, he just struggled here. I mean, he had some good days. A couple of good games, like the Maryland game down there. He played really well. But I just felt like the entire time he was just trying to get used to what was going on. And I think part of that, I think he could have had a better, just an opinion, I mean, it's just a guess. My guess would be he could have had a better season and a better experience here had he come in the spring. Now, he wasn't allowed to come in the spring. He had to get his degree first. But I just felt, and it's just my gut feeling, that it was a setback for him trying to come in and learn all this stuff in a cram course without the practical experience of doing it. So, can you come in and do some big things right away? No doubt. Abdul Carter did not come here until June. Tonight, because McDonough does not allow you to go early. Down in Maryland, they don't allow you to go early. So Devon Ellis, P.J. Mustafa, Curtis Jacobs, and Denai Dennis Sutton, all of them did not have spring practice. They did not go in early. They came in later. And all of them have thrived. So I think it's a mixed bag. It just depends on so much. Just depends on the individual. I think having a spring practice is invaluable because there's so much teaching that goes on in the spring, and you lose out on that. So you do have to play catch up, but it's not as if you can't be an instant contributor. There's no one answer or one formula for it. I mentioned the McDonough guys aren't allowed to come in early. And all 4 of them have thrived. So I don't know. Some guys haven't.
The spring practice is always important. But, from just listening to you guys talk, it sounds like that winter weight training is almost as important just for the bonding aspect of it, along with all the weight training.
No doubt, because you do everything in groups and pods, and it's competitive. We try to make everything around here competitive. And I think that instills that competitiveness in you. And not only want to I'm not going to say who this is. I work with the creative team at Penn State. We are working on a series of long-form documentaries about Penn State football. We think you'd be a fascinating voice. Okay. Really? Okay.
That sounds like something you could help with, Steve.
What do you think? Think I could help out?
You might be able to contribute a little.
Sure. I suppose I could do that. It's funny because, you know, Big Ten Network has done those. They did a whole bunch of documentaries, you know, top 10 this, top 10 that, you know. And I don't know. You know, you sit down and you bang out. Who knows? Like, I remember one time I sat down for ESPN for an hour down in at the Orange Bowl. And they ended up using them in seven different documentaries. Like, yeah, that was pretty cool. Right, seven different ones, you know, because you're answering questions for an hour. Right? But I've told the Rose Bowl one, but I'll retell it. The Rose Bowl one was, I'm sitting there, and and this is like 11 months later, and there's nobody, you know, I'm just sitting there in the family room, just. Watching kids, nobody home, right? And I'm flipping around, and it's the history of the Rose Bowl. I'm like, oh, that's great. I love the Rose Bowl. I can't wait to watch this. So I'm sitting there, and I'm watching it, and all of a sudden, I appear on the screen. And I said, hey, look, you know what? They care a lot more about the parade than they do the game. I'm like going, oh, great. That's the one you picked. Really? That's the one you picked. I was in it three or four other times in it. And I can't remember anything I said in the three or four other times. All I was sat there and went, really? That's what you picked? Thanks. I mean, it's a fact. And other people backed up my premise on the documentary. But I'm sitting there like going, that's what you picked? Really? I mean, look, I'm the one that said it, so I know. I said it. It's like, darn it. You know, but, I mean, I've gone to, like other stadiums, arenas, and I've had some fans say, hey, you're on the documentaries. I'm like going, hey, all right. So, yeah, we can do that. I've done a lot of sit-downs like that over the years. You know? And they're always, I mean, they're fun questions. I mean, you know, and obviously the one on the 2012 team that they did. Yeah, that was that story is something else, and a lot, you know. Of all of the ones that I did. You know, where I was asked to, you know, they want you to sit down. They just, and look, they just fire question after question after question at you. This is not like, you know, it's organized to a point, but like you sit there and you're answering a lot of questions in a. I think I sat down for the one about the 2012 team for like an hour and a half. And I remember it was up at the Match Building in Bellefonte. They had rented a place. And they finally put it out. I know that they've shown it here in State College. And I remember talking with Kirk Herbstreit, and he saw the movie the night before, And he says, Steve, he says, I was almost in tears watching it. So, yeah. I mean, that was a movie that was like documentary-style movie called Saving the Roar. Michael Nash did it. And Nash was great. I'm telling you right now, Nash was phenomenal in it. I mean, in terms of putting it together, Nash was phenomenal. I'm listed in the cast. Oh, I didn't know that. Cast. How about that? Wow. Do you know Dick Girardi's in Secretariat?
I did not.
Oh, goodness. He has lines. There's a scene leading into the Belmont, and Dick is one of the reporters asking a question. And right, and you know, sham Secretariat, the whole thing, and they shot the scene at Keeneland in Lexington. Oh, Dick had lines. It was great, man.
Now I have to go watch the movie. I've actually never seen it.
Oh, the movie is really well done. Diane Lane, tremendous. John Malkovich, outstanding. Plays Lucian Lauren. Really good.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.